kind of that one spot. Well, thank you all. Isn't it great to have live music again? Yeah. So remember, make sure y'all be nice to Sonny, you know, bribe her, whatever you can do. So no, Sonny, thank you. We appreciate it. And Thomas, as always, we thank you for leading in the music as well. I love the song that we ended with there. And that last verse is always one of my favorites, that if we had everything, if we had all of creation, all of the heavens of the earth, it wouldn't be enough to give to God for what he's done for us, that the cross itself demands everything that we have. And this morning we're continuing in the message called The Good News, and this morning's message is titled Lose. We're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. And this week's passage, we're picking up right on the heels of Peter's confession last week that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is God in flesh, that he is the Son of God. And that was boldly said. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, for God revealed that to you. No man had figured this out, but God has told you who I am." And Jesus goes on and tells him that on this confession, on the fact that this, that I am going to build my church. And that's what Jesus has been doing ever since, is building the church of Jesus Christ. Through the gospel message that we are talking about this morning. And so it's kind of interesting keeping this in mind. Understand that the disciples just had this amazing revelation of, especially Peter, of Jesus is the Messiah. And he says, "Yes, I am the Messiah, but shh, don't tell everyone yet. It's not time." And we pick it up in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 31, and this is what the scripture says. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan. If you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just open our hearts, open our minds, have us to hear the truth that you need us to hear this morning. Help us to apply it in our lives as we need to apply it, Jesus. We thank you for the cross and all that means for us, Jesus. This is your name we pray. Amen. Now, again, like I said, Peter had just had this moment of, Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You're the Christ, you're God in the flesh." And then Jesus starts to tell him, "Okay, that's great, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to deny me, they're going to abuse me, they're going to crucify me, I'm going to die." The bold apostle who just claimed that he was following the Son of God, the Messiah, now starts to go, "Oh no, you're not. You're not leaving us, Jesus, no way, you're too good for that, you're too big." And Jesus is like, "What did I just say?" And I think sometimes if you ever want to understand Jesus' relationship with his apostles, you can understand a relationship as a parent and a child, can you not? Especially if you have one of those wonderful, strong-willed children. Because that's what they're like. They're just like little kids. They hear it, but they don't hear it. I don't know how many times I heard growing up, "Boy, I got to clean out your ears. What did I just say?" "I don't know." "You're going to do this. This is going to happen." Nuh-uh. You ever had a kid tell you no? Caitlin did that one time. We had an argument. Go brush your teeth. No. Go brush your teeth. I don't want to. Go brush your teeth. And I'm start, the smoke's starting to rise. I'm like, go brush your teeth. No. And she stood there defiantly. I don't remember how old she was, but not old enough to tell me that. And and all of a sudden, Jenny comes walking out. Your father said go brush your teeth, and gave her the look. You know, the mother look. I went and brushed my teeth too. I was scared all of us, man. This is what, I'm going to go do this. Peter says, no, you're not. He says, yes, I am. Listen to me. You know, and the first point of today's message is that God's plan can be hard to accept sometimes, can it? We talk so many times of how the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, how the Messiah coming into this world to die is ridiculous. Nobody saves people. Nobody sets people free by dying, do they? Well, Jesus did. Just about everything Jesus did in his ministry, just about everything Jesus came and accomplished, flipped the belief of the Jewish tradition on its head. God's plan can be hard to accept in our lives. It shakes us from where we are. I mean, you can kind of understand the apostles, right? Wait a minute. Jesus, we've given up everything. We've left our homes. We've left our families. We're following you because we believe in you. You're the Messiah. What do you mean you're going to die? But it has to be. And Jesus told them this. He told them what's going to happen. He didn't hide his plan from them, did he? Not a single disciple on the night that Jesus was arrested should have gone, what's happening? Should they? None of them should have been shocked at the events that took place. Because Jesus told them, I am going to be arrested, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. But I'm coming back. He didn't hide his plan. You know, sometimes it feels like God's plan is hidden, isn't it? And I think sometimes God doesn't necessarily tell us everything about what's going on. Because I think if we understood every little detail of how God is working things and how it's, our minds would just go completely buggy. We'd blow a fuse somewhere, don't you think? At how God is working and moving and things are happening. It would drive us nuts trying to piece all that together. So God gives us bits and pieces. He gets us where we need to go. But God's not hiding anything. All right? Jesus is not a politician. He's not saying one thing, doing another. He's not answering questions. He's telling them what's going to happen. And an interesting word keeps showing up. In all three of the Gospels, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this story. But Mark and Luke both say Jesus must, there's a big word, must suffer. Matthew says Jesus must go to Jerusalem. If you must do something, what does that mean? You can't avoid it, can you? You gotta do it. You must get up in the morning. Teenagers will say, no, we don't. And they'll try. But there's things that you have to do. You must breathe oxygen. If not, what happens? You're dead. You must breathe. He had to go to Jerusalem. There was no getting around it. Jesus had to suffer. He must suffer. And all three of the Gospels point to the rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. That all of these must take place. And the second thing I want us to understand is that, you know what, we often tell God our plan is better than His, don't we? We know better, don't we? I mean, ever since the Garden of Eden, we've thought we knew better. Don't eat of the fruit. Eve said, but it looks so good. I'm going to eat it. Adam said, well, she's going to eat it because she looked good. I'm going to eat it too. And then what happened? Well, now we're in the mess we're in now. And Peter said, Peter took him aside. At least Peter took him to the side, right? At least he was being a good follower and didn't call him out right in front of all the other apostles, did he? I bet he wanted to. This shows some growth in Peter. I bet a few months earlier, Peter went, ah, right then as Jesus was telling him. Instead, he went, psst, come here, Jesus. All right. Look, you can't be telling us you're going to go die. I would love to hear what the actual story was, right? It just says he began to rebuke him. What does it mean to rebuke? To scold, to get after. You've rebuked people before. I know you have. If you had kids, I'm sure you've rebuked at least one of them. You're not supposed to do that. Don't do that. That's the way you're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be doing that. Don't be doing that. Jesus, you can't be telling us that you're going to die. You cannot go die. We're not going to let you go die. We're going to take you somewhere else. And Jesus, what did he do? Get behind me, Satan! And was he calling Peter Satan? No, Peter wasn't the devil. Peter didn't have the devil in him. He was getting after Peter's prideful assertion, though. And we know, based on the night before the crucifixion, that Jesus was, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. We know in the temptation, Satan offered him multiple times, do this. So in one respect, when somebody's telling you not to listen to what God is saying to do, they're tempting you like the devil is. Are they not? They're acting just like the Satan, saying, oh, no, do this and you can have this, do this and you can have that. Could they have stopped Jesus from going? They could have tried. And they did a little bit in the garden. Somebody lost an ear, didn't come to arrest Jesus, didn't they? Why? My man Peter. I got a knife. Yeah, he whacked off an ear. And then all of a sudden they all freaked out and ran and hid. See, we need to keep focused on God. Matthew tells us in chapter 6 to seek first the kingdom of God, right? And then what happens? Then all these things will be added unto you. Our plan, it doesn't matter. Hopefully our plan lines up with what God is doing. Hopefully our plan is God's plan, right? If we're following along, if we're doing and we're asking God, we're talking to God, we're communicating with God, hopefully our plan is God's plan. And we have to be willing to listen to it. We have to be willing to adjust what it is. Sometimes we get so set. We've got the plan, we're going to go. And I'm telling you, 2020 was one of these years, like we're out of it yet. God help us, we're still in 2020, aren't we? And this is one of those years that took everybody's plans and went, forget them. Because didn't we all sit down in January and pencil the calendar in for the whole year? We had some good stuff on the calendar too, didn't we? We were going to reach the community. We were going to do events. We were going to have kids stuff, bounce houses, hot dogs, hamburgers. It was going to be fun. We're going to have a great time reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, this stupid virus came along, and what happened? Nothing. We could barely see our own family now, let alone reach out to people in the community, right? Right? We have to be willing to adjust, especially when God begins to move. Saw a church sign the other day that said, if you feel far away from God, guess who moved? Now, I understand the premise of the sign, saying that you walked away from God. But you know what? I think there's a second half to that. Because sometimes I think God moves, and we just get stuck in our plan and forget to go with Him. Because it's not always like God's using GPS on us, is it? We don't always get the turn right in 2 years signal, do we? I wish we did. But then, wouldn't that be boring? Wouldn't Christian life be boring if we knew exactly what was going to happen every second of the day? I think it would. Sometimes the surprises are what's exciting. Sometimes the surprises are what's scary too, though, right? But you know what? We have our plan. Most of the time, we're not afraid to tell God, you're wrong, mine's better. We may not say those words, because remember, as kids, how many of you actually told your parents, no, I ain't going to do that, to their face? And didn't, one time, thank you. One time. And see, these younger people, they missed out on a lot. But yeah, and my dad wasn't the worst one. Don't tell mama no either. 5 foot nothing, and yes, ma'am. But now, did I ever tell her no by my actions? Oh, yeah. All the time. You need to, okay. I didn't need to do a thing, did I? Just sat there and forget about it. Because I knew better. It's amazing how smart we are when we don't know nothing, isn't it? Number three. We have to willingly lose our everything to gain God's everything. Let me say it again, because there's a lot of everythings in there. We have to willingly lose our everything to gain God's everything. See, Luke tells us that we must take up our cross daily. The other gospel tells us to take up our cross. Luke says you have to do so daily. What does that mean? Well, we know what the cross is, right? We see pretty pictures of it. We've had slides of the cross going with the songs. We've sung about the wonderful cross. Did the people back then think the cross was wonderful? No. That was a horrible, horrible idea. Pick up my what and take it where? See, we'd pick up a cross now, we'll put it on a necklace, we'll wear it, it's nice. We'll go to the tattoo artist and get one tattooed on our arm. I won't, because I don't, the needles, it hurts. All right, we're not going to do that. We'll have Bible covers with crosses on them. We'll wear t-shirts that do this. I had one back in the day when I thought I was cooler than I really was. I had my tank top. It was black, it was cool. And it said Lord's Gym on the front of it. It said, bench press this, because it had Jesus with a cross pushing himself up. Bench press this. I mean, we'd wear the cross anywhere, right? Look like a goober in it, by the way. We got pictures online somewhere. But anyway, the shirt was cool. I didn't wear it well. But we'll put that cross on, won't we? But who in here would take up an actual cross, allow themselves to be nailed to it, hung up out there in the yard until you die? See, that's what they got. They could look down the street and see people on the cross when Jesus was telling this. Because the cross was a place of punishment. Who normally went to the cross? Guilty people. Criminals. Even if it was only criminal by the government's definition. But it was criminals. But yet, we're supposed to take up the cross. How many of us are guilty? Every single one of us. See, Jesus didn't go, he didn't need to go to the cross. He shouldn't have gone to the cross. He was the only innocent one ever crucified. That should have been me on that cross. That should have been you on that cross. This is what we're to take up daily. See, we got to put our sins on the cross every day. When you come to Jesus, are you free from sin? That's a tough question because we believe we're born again believers. I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk a pretty much sinful life. The reality is, though, are we going to walk one? No, because we're still human. We still live in a fallen world. We're still fallen people. As much as we try to, as we grow older and we get closer and closer and we grow in maturity to Jesus, I think what we wind up sinning and doing gets less and less, or at least should as we grow. But does that mean we're not going to sin anymore? No, we're still going to sin. Because there's some things that we don't think we think we can't control. Trust, again, you know, ride around town. Meet with other people. Something's going to pop out of your brain at some point, and it came from somewhere. Usually it's that sinful person inside of you that we've tried to beat down and tried to crucify daily. But we can put our sins on the cross every day. See, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm taking my sinful self. I want him nailed to the cross. And don't let him off. We can crucify our desires. Those things that we want. Do you think Jesus really wanted to be on the cross? I'm pretty sure he didn't. But he loved us so much that he was willing to take that. He was willing to endure that, to pay that ultimate price for our sins. We have desires, we have dreams, we have things that we want in our lives. Our pride. If there's ever something we need to nail to the cross, it's our pride. Our plans, all of this needs to be nailed to the cross. And say, what I have, what I want, God, crucify it. Take it from me. And then we take up our cross and we follow after Jesus. We've put the stuff on there. We have to take up that cross. It's that reminder of that we're no longer our own. We're dying to the self that we were. Moving toward a new life. The way the passage reads, it's kind of a you can't have your cake and eat it too passage, isn't it? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Wait, what? I want to save my life, I'm going to lose it, but if I lose my life, I'm going to save it? Yeah. You think the religious leaders of Jesus' day understood that? I mean, understand the common thinking then meant what? The more popular where you were, the more riches you had, the more wealth, the more standing in society you had, the more blessed of God they believed you were. They didn't believe that if you were willing to crucify yourself and make yourself as humble and lowly as humanly possible, that you were then actually truly blessed of God. And we can gain everything. We can have millions and billions of dollars. And this is not preaching against monetary or wealth or possessions or anything else like that. Because it's all about the heart. We can gain everything and still lose everything, can't we? Like I said before, it's not he who dies with the most toys wins. It's he who dies with the most toys is still dead. You can't take it with you. You can try. There's stories of people all the time. Somebody was buried in a Cadillac one time. I'd hate to have been that pallbearer, I could tell you. We just push, I guess. But they make coffins now that have little drawers in them up in the lid that you can open up and pull all your jewelry and possessions in to take with you. Why? Either way you go, you're not going to need them. Even if you could take them with you, would you? I mean, you walk into heaven, you go, look at my pearls. And Jesus would say, well, look at our gates. It's way bigger than yours, isn't it? Don't even want to know what the devil will tell you. What does man give for their soul? Look around the world. Watch the news. Power, money, fame. Talent. You've heard those old people have like that really good talent. Boy, that boy sold his soul to the devil to get that kind of plan, right? Watch the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That guy that played the guitar. That's what he made a deal with the devil to get. We've got to take up our cross. And get this, I mean, Jesus takes it even a step further here. He says, not only do you have to do these things, but even if you're just ashamed of me. You ever catch yourself? And you know those people at the grocery store, they're told to talk to you and start a conversation. Some of them need some practice. I've had some of them start some awkward conversations. All right, and she's kind of like, whoa. All right, I don't know what you're talking about, but don't. But most of the time, what's the general question? How's your day going so far? What do you say? Good. Fine. From the South. Fine, and you? Right, that's how it goes. I learned at Home Depot, because we were always taught to engage a customer, the most loaded question you can ask anyone is, how are you doing today? A lot of them will just go, fine, because they don't want to be bothered. And God bless them, our store was around the corner from a retirement home, and for some reason, Home Depot became a field trip opportunity for them, especially in the garden department. And when you ask some people how they're doing, they will tell you. It's not always fun. Well, I just got out of the hospital. I had surgery back. Oh, sharing too much, sir. Can I help you find anything? But how many times when even we're just sitting in the store and they ask, well, how's your day going so far? Good. Have you ever said it and then thought for a second? Well, you know what? Actually, it's going great. I just came from church. And I'm not saying that is we're ashamed, but so many times we just don't think about it, do we? We have those opportunities. People ask you, what are you doing on Sunday? Not much. I'll be at church. What are you going to do? You want to come with me? If you're ashamed of me and my words, then I'm going to be ashamed of you. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I couldn't imagine that look. of him going, nope. We can do what we want, and we can have all that we desire, but if we miss Jesus, we have gained nothing. And in reality, we've lost everything. Let me say that again. We can do what we want and we can have all that we desire. But if we miss Jesus, we have nothing. And in reality, we've lost everything. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, it means nothing. There's a song and called Give Me Jesus. And it's probably one of the most simple choruses that you can sing. It's basically, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You know, in the evening when I lay down, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you've come, that you freely went to that cross and sacrificed your all so that we could gain everything. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just reveal to us those things that we're holding on. Strengthen us to embrace the cross that we must carry daily. As we give of ourselves, as we yield ourselves to you, your leading, your will. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of that pride that tells us that we know better than you do. God, help us. Jesus, we thank you that you bore that cross, that you were crucified, and that your innocent blood was shed so that you could cover our sin once and for all. And God, we thank you that that's not where the story ended, that you rose victorious after 3 days so that we can be free from our sin and that we can have eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.